There is a worldview that is very popular in our culture right now that believes that the Christian worldview is absolute foolishness. They believe that we have hundreds of years of philosophy and ethics and academia building up on wisdom. And so this worldview believes that we can leave the Bible behind because it was written 2,000-3,000 years ago, parts of it. And so since it was written that long ago, it's just foolishness. True wisdom comes from another source. And I almost want to embrace that and say, based off 1 Corinthians, call me foolish. We're living like fools in a wise world because we have chosen to submit to Scripture anyways, because we know that the wisdom of man is really foolishness compared to the wisdom of God. So we started it last week and we looked at this introduction. There's this title page that's the Proverbs of Solomon. And we looked at what the idea of a proverb is. It is a short, pithy statement that contains wisdom in it. So that's what a proverb is. It's a short, pithy statement, something that you could easily memorize that contains wisdom. So then what is wisdom? Wisdom is skillful living. How do we operate in this world? And then it gets, the beginning of Proverbs starts off with a purpose statement that the Proverbs were written to give wisdom to the naive, give wisdom to the inexperienced, the simpletons. That's why Proverbs were written. And also to build up the wise, because if you're wise, you know that you can continue to grow in wisdom. And then it gets on to a thesis statement that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If you want to live skillfully, you need to be in awe of God. And part of that is first recognizing that there is a creator. And that, again, comes to this clash of worldviews. This idea that there is no creator means that we can't even really define what successful living means. The idea of how do you live successfully is a moving target. It all depends on who you are and what your circumstances are. But if we can admit there's a creator and we are the creation, then the creator has set up some principles, some guidelines, some rules and regulations that help us define what successful living means. And then he gives us the principles, the rules, and the regulations that help us navigate or live skillfully in such a way that we can live successfully. But we have to acknowledge that there is a creator first. Without acknowledging a creator, success is a moving target. Skill is a moving target. Morality is a moving target. And we see that clearly today. In my short life of 40 years, I can tell you how much morality has changed. In fact, it's changed so drastically that 5 years ago, if you had asked me certain moral questions 5 years ago, I'd be like, that's ridiculous. There's no way that would be a common, accepted moral. And yet here we are today, and it's like, wow, that happened quick. And it's only moving faster. The more secular we become, the faster that moving target of morality moves. So he sets us up with the purpose statement, and then we start to learn some proverbs. And he's going to start us off with parents talking to children. Let's go ahead and we'll read it first, and then we'll dig in a little bit more. Proverbs 1, and we're going to go 8 through 19. Next week we'll finish off Proverbs 1. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood, let us ambush the innocent without reason. Like Sheol, we'll swallow them alive and whole, like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all precious goods, we will fill our houses with plunder. Throw your lot among us. We will have one purse.
My son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. For in vain is a net spread in the sight of any bird. But these men lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives. Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors. So we jump into the Proverbs, and it starts off with parents speaking to their son. Now, there's quite a few principles we can grab from this. And number one that I think we need to touch upon is that parents are the primary source for wisdom. Parents should be this primary. You should be teaching your kid wisdom. You should be grounding your children in Scripture. And this is such an important principle for us to grab a hold of today, because we have outsourced this. We outsource wisdom. We outsource morality. We outsource education, and we don't even want to deal with it. And so what do? We say, hey, schools, teach my kids about morality. Teach my kids about ethics. Hey, church, I don't really know what I'm doing when it comes to the Bible, so teach my kids about the Bible. I can't tell you as a youth pastor how many times Jen and I would have a parent drop their kid off and they would be like, my kid is making horrible mistakes, fix them. Now, they didn't always say it in that exact word, but that's really what they were implying. I don't know what I'm doing. Fix my kid for me. We have outsourced education and wisdom, instruction and wisdom, teaching and wisdom, teaching in the Scripture. And parents, I want to encourage you that you should be the primary instructor for your children. Do not outsource that. You will run into issues if you outsource that. And on top of that, we need to model it for them. A lot of those parents that were dropping their kids off at youth group, one of the major reasons why their kids were having such issues is because their parents were teaching them or telling them that they should be living this way, but the parent was living in a totally different way. You should go to church. You should be a good person. You should do all these things and jump through all these hoops. But I'm not even going to step foot in a church. Parents, we need to instruct our kids, and we need to model wisdom for our children. However, here, the father and the mother are the Proverbs. So there's an analogy going on here where the father and the mother are actually the proverb itself. And this is important for us to grasp, because some of us don't have believing parents. Some of us don't have parents that are all that wise. Some of us have parents that are fools or even evil. So where do we go for instruction? Well, we go to the Proverbs. The Proverbs, the Scriptures in general, are our ultimate authority. So as we're growing up, our parents should be instructing us in the Proverbs. As our kids are growing up, we as parents should be instructing our children in Scripture. And we should be a primary source. But the source with the ultimate authority in our lives is Scripture. So hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. The words hear, my son, and forsake not both imply listening and obeying. It's not just memorizing facts. It's not just going to Awana and memorizing all of your Awana verses. It's acting upon them. Just like last week, we learned that word knowledge doesn't just mean head knowledge, but it meant to live it out. In the Jewish culture, you didn't know something until you actually lived it. And that's what these two words imply here. Hear and forsake not. It means you need to live this instruction out. You need to live this teaching out. Don't just listen. Listen and obey. Kids, are you picking up on me? You listening to what I'm saying? You picking up what I'm throwing down? Listen and obey your parents. The words instruction and teaching here both relate to Torah. Now, Torah is the first five books of the Bible. And so this is related to Scripture. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forget not your mother's teaching as it pertains to Scripture. Parents, we need to be teaching our children Scripture in such a way that they live it out. For they are graceful garland on your head and pendants for your neck. Both graceful garland and pendants are jewelry. And what is the purpose of jewelry but to enhance beauty? So, our father's instruction and our mother's teaching as it relates to Scripture enhances our life. That's the reason why we listen to them. We will live a better life. We will have a better life if we listen to their instruction. Now, I need to make this disclaimer again. Because one worldview that has infiltrated the church has a successful life, meaning you will feel less pain. And that's what success means. That's what a better life means. And I can't tell you how many people in the church I have heard say, God doesn't want me to suffer. And so they think that if they just follow the Proverbs, then they won't suffer. And that's false. That's a worldview that's penetrated the church. What it means to live a better life, what it means to live a successful life, means to obey Scripture and glorify God. Now, there are a lot of principles in the Proverbs that if we apply them, in general, we will have just a happier, easier life. However, those are principles and not promises. Principles you can apply, they're not formulaic. Promises are, if you do this, then this will absolutely happen. And we treat the Proverbs like promises. That if I just follow the Proverbs, I'll never feel pain in my life. I will be successful, meaning I'll be wealthy and I won't suffer. And that's not what's going on here. Your mother's teaching and your father's instruction will enhance your life. So then we get into the wisdom that the Proverbs will share. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. This is the first piece of advice of the proverb. If sinners entice you, do not consent. The word sinner here means to rebel against God. If people who are rebelling against God is enticing you, and the word entice means to persuade with deception. So if people who are rebelling against God are trying to persuade you, most likely those sinners are trying to also deceive you into following along with them. And I can think of how this applies to so many different areas of our life. Students who are moving to go to college, there are going to be people who are in rebellion against God, who will try to entice you, who will try to bring you along with them with deception to go party with them. And there will be some deception involved, meaning they will show you how much fun it is. And I'm not going to lie to you. It's fun. I think that's one of the biggest mistakes the church makes, is we try to say being drunk is not fun. Getting high is not fun. If it wasn't fun, no one would be doing it. You're going to have a good time when you're high. The deception is after the high ends. The deception is after the alcohol wears off. When you're no longer drunk and you're regretting the things you did. They don't talk about that. I can't tell you how many college friends I have who wasted significant amounts of their lives getting drunk and still to this day have issues with alcoholism. And nobody warned them. That was the deception. Nobody warned them that they're going to be slaves to alcohol.
Nobody goes to college parties thinking, one day I'm going to be a slave to this chemical that I'm putting into my body. That's the deception.
But that's also the reality, that you can fall easily into that trap of being addicted to chemicals.
But this is, I also think of crime. You know, when someone's trying to persuade you into committing crime. No one wants to commit a crime by themselves. And that's what the Proverbs are going to lay out here for us, is criminals trying to persuade you to come with them. I also think of politics.
Now, I'm not going to get political here. I'm not going to endorse anything. But I do say, when you are, I mean, this is the MO of the politician, right? Enticing you to what? Vote for them. Enticing you to join along with them in their fight for a certain cause. And oftentimes, they will deceive you. They won't give you the full story. They won't let you know what's really going on. They're going to hide something, or they're going to make their opponent look bad with deception.
How many of you feel right now like you need to wear a tin hat? I was just talking with a friend the other day that's like, I don't even know what to believe anymore, Aaron. There's so many conspiracies floating around out there, and there's so much misinformation going around. I think I need to start wearing a tin hat.
And we see so many politicians who are rebellious against God, even if they might claim they are believing in God. That's part of the deception.
But are rebellious against God, and they are trying to get you to come along with them, and they will use any deceptive means at their disposal.
We need to be careful when it comes to politics. My son, if sinners, if people who are rebellious against you try to persuade you with deception, do not consent. And this word consent means to go with. Do not go with them. Do not buy into it. And then he gives us the reason why. And he's going to start talking through how they might deceive us. So if they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. And this is a reference towards murder, that they're going to lie in wait for blood. Their goal is to murder someone, and we'll find out why they're going to murder them. Let us ambush the innocent without reason. And so we see the cowardness of these people. They're not even going to confront these people head on. They're going to wait in ambush so that this person who is innocent, who is unexpecting, is going to get killed. That's what they're going to do here. So let us ambush the innocent without reason. The victim does not deserve this. Like Sheol, let us swallow them alive and whole, like those who go down to the pit. And this is a reference to, we're going to kill them. So we see very clearly that there is going to be death and destruction with these people that are rebelling against God. We shall find all precious goods. We shall fill our house with plunder. And so we see the motive, right? We're going to kill these people so that we can take their stuff. Now, that not all sinners who will entice you. This isn't the game plan of all sinners who entice you. This is just a general example. Some sinners that will entice you won't say we're going to kill them. But they might make it sound, part of the enticement even, is that we won't even really harm them. It's a harmless crime. No one's really going to get hurt. And if they're enticing you, that's just part of the deception. So they're trying to fill their house with plunder. And part of the deception is you can live like you've always wanted to live. You don't have to worry about finances anymore. You can have that thing that you've always wanted. And they continue, throw in your lot among us. We will have one purse. We'll be equals. We're going to treat you like a brother. We have a criminal code. Do not trust them. Then we get back to the Proverbs giving instruction. My son, do not walk in the way with them. And notice how straightforward this is. This is very candid. It's to the point. Do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their path. So he's saying, don't even start to go down that road.
Don't think, I can walk with these people for a little bit. I can just take a couple footsteps with them. I don't need to go all the way to murder, but I can start to walk this route a little ways. Maybe I won't get drunk that night. I'll just have a couple beers. He's saying, no, don't even begin the path. Don't even start it. And here we actually see the first introduction of this term path in the Proverbs. And we're going to see three different paths that we can take. The path in the proverb means the way of life. Three different ways of life. Three different directions that you can choose in the proverb. And one is the path of the evil. You can take the path of the evil, and we'll see what the end result is on there. You can take the path of the wise, and you can take the path of the fool. And each one will have a different result. Now, one of the amazing things about God and His grace is even if you start on one path, you can always go to the path of the wise. You can always leave the path of the evil for the path of the wise. One of our responsibilities is even if you start on the path of the wise, you can end up on the path of the fool or the evil. And it is our responsibility to stay on the path of the wise. But that's going to be a recurring theme throughout the Proverbs. And why shouldn't we go on their path? Well, next, the proverb will give us the reason why. For their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. They make haste to shed blood reemphasizes their evil, but we see that they are choosing evil. They desire evil. And here again, we see a clash of worldviews. And the clash of worldviews is that the worldview that says there is no God says that evil is a product of corrupt systems. And so how do we fix evil? We fix corrupt systems. We see this playing out around us all over today. So Jen and I just saw a meme that we were actually pretty offended by this week, and it said something along the lines, I'm going to mess up the quote a little bit, but the gist of it was, the problem with the foster care system, now, I think there's a lot of problems in the foster care system, but this is not one of them. But the problem with the foster care system is that most children are taken due to poverty and then given to foster care children or foster care parents, and those foster care parents are given money. If we can just give the biological parents money, then they wouldn't need to be taken into the foster care system to begin with. Now, we see a clear worldview in this meme. And the meme is, people aren't by necessity evil. It is evil systems, and it is a resource problem. If we can just give the right resources in the right hands, then there will no longer be evil. That's the worldview that perpetuates this type of thinking. And we're seeing this type of thinking more and more throughout the world. That evil is a result of a resource issue. And if we can reallocate resources, there will no longer be evil. But we see here in the Proverbs that that's not true. And in all honesty, I don't need the Proverbs to tell me this. I have experience. I have that experience in my own heart. Because before I came to know Christ, and even still to this day, there are times when I want to run towards evil. And it is by God's grace that I don't. And I can tell you that in your heart, I know human nature well enough to know that in your heart there have been times when you have started to run towards evil. But in the Proverbs we see clearly that people run towards evil. And so Jen and I know none of the children that we have had in the foster care system And actually, we don't know a single child that was taken due to poverty. Every child I've ever known that has been taken in the foster care system was taken because of drug abuse, neglect, and abuse. And there's no amount of money, no amount of resources that's going to fix that. That's a heart issue that needs to be addressed. And until we as a culture recognize that there's a heart issue, we'll always have foster care. Now, don't get me wrong. There's broken systems all over the world because we are broken people. There are evil systems all over the world because we have a tendency towards evil. It's not the systems that are creating evil. It's the people that create the systems that are evil. And it is a fundamental worldview difference. And it means how we approach the subject and how we fix the issue is completely opposite. Do we reallocate resources hoping that that will cure evil? Or do we recognize that there are people that choose evil, that run towards evil, and that they need to feel the consequences of their evil decisions? The Proverbs would tell us that there are people that run to evil, and we need to recognize it. And there are times when we need to call it out as it is. And there are times we need to recognize it in our own hearts. When do you run towards evil? Is there a certain evil that you run to? The good news is you can take a path towards wisdom. For their feet run to evil and they make haste to shed blood. For in vain a net is spread in the sight of any bird, but these men lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives. Can I get all the children to come up for a second, please? You can run up here if you'd like. I've been thinking more and more. So a disclaimer here is, you know, this we have done church in America quite different from most Christians for centuries, right? For a couple centuries. Most Christians have done church with kids in the church. Ben, you can come up. If you guys don't want to come up, don't worry about it. But they've just had to deal with children in the church. But we've been kind of this, like, we outsource it and we send them to children's church. And don't get me wrong, I love children's church. I think there's a fundamental reason why we do children's church. And part of that is so that parents can really focus. So children's church oftentimes is more of a gift to parents. But we're learning to do church in a different way again, aren't we? And so we're trying to engage children more. Now this verse says, for in vain is a net spread in the sight of any bird. I don't know if you guys know what I'm about to try to do, but I've got a net here for you. And I don't know, I might try to catch you. I don't know, can you move fast enough? Oh man, all right, here we go. Here we go. Can I catch it? I'm going to try to catch it. You better watch out. Oh, yep, that's a good turn. Yo, see, once they know what I'm doing, they're good. They're fast, huh? It's kind of silly for me to even try to catch them with this net, isn't it? I mean, wow. What if I come up this way? Now you don't know what to do. You're like, I'm stuck. I'm trapped. Oh, what? He didn't even have to move on that one. Here we go. Oh, yeah. See, they're all getting smart now. They have learned. They have learned. Okay, thank you guys so much. You can go sit down. They learned pretty quickly. Ben taught them. He shared his wisdom of just hit the net away. We don't even have to move anymore. But they learned pretty quickly, right? For in vain is a net spread in the sight of any bird. And what he's getting at here is, hey, look, even the birds get it. The birds are not that intelligent of creatures. But even they get the trap. And if you set the trap in front of the bird and don't try to use camouflage and you're not clever about setting your trap, you're never going to catch a bird. If you ask a bunch of kids to come up on stage and you have this pretty janky net and you say, hey, I'm going to try to catch you, you're not going to be able to catch the kid. They're going to hit the net away. They're going to move. It's not that difficult to understand. And yet, the person that runs towards evil doesn't get it. That's the point right here. The person that runs towards evil doesn't get it, but they're setting the trap for themselves. But these men lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives. The result of running towards evil is your own death. That's the result of running towards evil. You will fall into your own trap. Life is confusing enough as it is right now. Like I said, my buddy, he's like, should I wear a tinfoil hat these days? I don't know what to believe. There's all kinds of worldviews being thrown at me. There's all kinds of different ideas, different philosophies being thrown at me. It is so difficult to be able to filter out the truth. The last thing we need to do is set our own trap. But that's what we do when we run towards evil, is we set a trap for our own lives. Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors. When we run towards evil, it is our own life that we are setting a trap for. How we avoid this trap begins with the fear of the Lord. We avoid this trap by, one, recognizing that there is a Creator. And this Creator has set up some rules and some principles. How to live a successful life is not a moving target. It's laid out for us in Scripture. How to navigate life is not a moving target. Morality is not a moving target. It's laid out for us in Scripture. But first, we need to recognize that there is a Creator. Second, we need to recognize that we have a propensity to run towards evil. And the only way to change an evil heart is through Christ. The only way to change from our propensity to run towards evil is to recognize that because we're rebellious, because we've all sinned against God and rebelled against Him and wanted to do our own thing, we all deserve death. But God, who loves us so greatly, came and died that death for us. So that when we put our faith and trust in Him, He saves us. And He calls us righteous and holy. We are no longer considered to be sinful. We are no longer considered to be evil. And He changes our heart from running towards evil to running towards Him. If you haven't put your faith and trust in Christ yet, but you're struggling with evil, if you haven't put your faith and trust in Christ yet, I know that you have a propensity to run towards something that is your own trap and will be your own destruction. Would you turn towards Jesus today and put your faith in Him? Dear Lord, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that You are the Creator and You didn't create and leave us alone to our own demise. But You created us and then You gave us Scripture. You gave us rules. You gave us regulations. You gave us principles that we could live by. And not only that, but then You came and You died on the cross for us so that we could have changed hearts. You've given us every resource we need to live a life according to Your Word. And I pray that You would help us to do that. Help us to turn from evil and walk the path of wisdom. In Your name we pray. Amen.